This is Poetry Off the Shelf from the Poetry Foundation, November 6th, 2013. I'm Curtis Fox. This week, a grieving poem. Recently, we've been featuring poets whose books are finalists this year for the National Book Award. So far, we've played poems by Matt Rasmussen, Lucy Brock-Broido, and Adrienne Matika. Today we're going to hear a poem of grief by Mary Sheepist, another of the finalists. Her poem has such an odd title.
On Wanting to Tell About a Girl Eating Fish Eyes.
So there's a little pause in there. On Wanting to Tell, and then there's brackets in the title, about a girl eating fish eyes. The poem was first published in Poetry Magazine in 2008, and it comes up in an essay by Joy Katz that's up on the Poetry Foundation's website. Joy Katz is a poet who lives in Pittsburgh, and she joins me to talk about Mary Sheepist's poem. Hi, Joy.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. So I wanted to ask you first, before we get to the poem, a few questions about your essay. You begin, "When my mother died 8 years ago, I stopped reading poetry." Now, one would think that you might have turned to poetry for consolation. So why didn't poetry help?
The kinds of poems I was looking at, and I even went to the Poetry Foundation website sometimes to look at what came up under poems of sorrow and grief.
Yeah.
And I found that I resisted poetry's impulse to resolve. My mother had just died, and I felt like I was standing before the edge of not even a cliff, but something almost sci-fi. I mean, at the edge of, well, I guess it's, you know, it's the edge of the abyss, the goneness of my mother. And it was just so large. And these poems fell off the edge like crumbs or tiny pebbles. They were so ineffectual, and they made me angry. They made me so angry.
Really?
I had to stop reading them. Yeah.
So is there any particular poem that really turned you off?
There's a poem by Edna St. Vincent Millay called Ebb. And I remember that in it, death is a little tepid pool. And that just the scale of that was so wrong. I just felt that the poem reduced sorrow to this small thing. It just fought with what was happening with me. And at other times, I would be thinking about a very small moment of my mother's dying, such as when the worker at the hospice smoothed olive oil onto her lips. And it seemed like soon after that, I read a poem about death that was all mythology and gods and war. It was, you know, huge, and it was lamentation, and it seemed to me so ridiculous. So that didn't match either. Poetry seemed to always be getting it wrong just when I needed it to somehow to get something right because I needed something from a poem.
But eventually, and this is the meat of your essay, you found your way back to poetry. How'd that happen? How'd you get back into it?
I guess I started reading poetry again when I was far enough outside of the death and the physical intense mourning of my mother that I could take up poetry as I always had. You know, it was still there. It just didn't serve my needs at all in this one way. But it took me a really, really long time to find poems into which I could take my grief, which I still carried with me. And it took me quite a long time, some years, to find poems I could trust with that. And I did eventually find some.
Some of the poems are the ones you talk about in your essay. And one of them is by Mary Sheepist, "On Wanting to Tell About a Girl Eating Fish Eyes." And before we talk about it, I want to play it for the audience. Here's how she introduced it when we recorded her reading it for the Poetry Magazine podcast.
I wrote this shortly after the death of a friend, and right afterwards that night, I had dinner with some friends, and their very young daughter really loved eating fish eyes. We were having grilled fish, whole fish, and she went around to everyone's plate and plucked the eyes out of the fish and ate them gleefully. And so the memory of that beautiful little girl doing this strange activity became really ingrained in my mind with the death of my friend.
So the poem is addressed to the unnamed person who died, and it takes place at that dinner party. Let's listen to it.
On Wanting to Tell About a Girl Eating Fish Eyes. How her loose curls float above each silver fish as she leans in to pluck its eyes. You died just hours ago. Not suddenly, no. You'd been dying so long nothing looked like itself. From your window, fishermen swirled sequins. Fishnets entangled the moon. Now the dark rain looks like dark rain. Only the wine shimmers with candlelight. I refill the glasses and we raise a toast to you as so-and-so's daughter, Elfin, jittery as a sparrow, slides into another lap to eat another pair of slippery eyes with her soft fingers, fingers rosier each time for being chewed a little. If only I could go to you, revive you. You must be a little alive still. I'd like to put this girl in your lap. She's almost feverishly warm, and she weighs hardly anything. I want to show you how she relishes each eye, to show you her greed for them. She is placing one on her tongue, bright as a polished coin. What do they taste like? I ask. Twisting in my lap, she leans back sleepily. They taste like eyes, she says.
So, Joy, why did this poem reach you in your grief while so many other elegies did not?
First of all, the title, where the name of the person who died isn't there. It's bracketed nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Rang very true to me. The ordinary names, they go with this world. They go with where we are. They don't go to the other place. They don't transfer. You know, the name, the noun of the person is gone.
What's interesting about this poem is that it's addressed to this nameless person. Speaking to this nameless person without naming him or her.
Yes, it's true. And I don't have any faith really in elegy at all. That was one, the artifice of elegy where you speak to the dead person. I had a huge problem with after my mother died. And even still, I mean, all of poetry is artifice, but that just strikes me as somehow psychically so false and wrong. I can't abide it. But in this poem, the speaker addresses the dead person, but really wishfully.
You died just hours ago. Not suddenly, no. You'd been dying so long nothing looked like itself.
So why is that? Why do you suppose in her grief nothing looked like itself?
I think because, in this case, death's slow approach, and I also had a quite slow approach with my mother. Everything you see is transformed and becomes charged with loss. Objects aren't objects anymore. Nothing is quite itself. And it leads to this romantic, pathetic fallacy where you look out the window and everything is charged with loss.
From your window, fishermen swirled sequins. Fishnets entangled the moon.
A very romantic image, but...
Very, very, very romantic, yes. But it's not a romantic poem at all. It's really a creepy poem.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that the poem rejects metaphor is one of the things I trust most about it.
Now the dark rain looks like dark rain.
It doesn't look like anything else. It is what it is.
And what a relief to have the rain back just as rain.
I refill the glasses and we raise a toast to you as so-and-so's daughter, Elfin, jittery as a sparrow, slides into another lap to eat another pair of slippery eyes with her soft fingers, fingers rosier each time for being chewed a little.
Isn't that odd? With her soft...
So odd, yeah.
So what do you make of this strange girl? As we learned from the introduction, which you didn't know before you heard that, I think, was that it's based on a real story. The poet had gone to a dinner party and some girl was eating fish eyes. But what do you make of, in a poem, a girl eating fish eyes?
Well, I think that a girl eating fish eyes in a poem, especially a poem that has to do with a death, could have really not worked. It could have been really heavily weighted with symbolism or freighted with meaning.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if she just had made this little girl into a metaphor for something, that would have been the great, great mistake of this poem, the great mistake I felt just personally, that poems of death that use metaphor make or that just don't, you know, ring true for me.
If only I could go to you, revive you. You must be a little alive still.
You know, that's the heartbreaking line in the whole poem to me. You must be a little alive still. It's just hard to, death is just hard to believe when it happens. It's hard to believe that
it
people...
It is hard to believe. It's not something that you can measure or say definitely when it happens. And this is what the poem wonders about, It wonders about the border between being alive and being no longer alive.
I'd like to put this girl in your lap. She's almost feverishly warm, and she weighs hardly anything. I want to show you how she relishes each eye, to show you her greed for them.
I love the idea of the strange greed and consumption offsetting the goneness of the person in that blank spot at the top of the page where the name was.
Mm-hmm.
Almost as if she could fill that space full of fish eyes.
Such a peculiarly odd poem, isn't it? I think it seems like it could be a surrealistic poem, because eating fish eyes is something you might find in a surrealistic poem. But in fact, it's grounded in the in normal everyday reality. It's just a little bizarre.
Yeah, it's uncomfortable, and the poem doesn't tell you whether or not it's a metaphor.
You know, there is one point in the poem where she sort of approaches metaphorical meaning when she says, referring to the little girl and one of the fish eyes.
She is placing one on her tongue, bright as a polished coin.
That is a suggestion of some sort of death ritual, is it not, to have a coin?
Yes, you place coins over the eyes of the dead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you shut their eyes and place a coin there.
Does that not push uncomfortably at the boundaries of metaphor for you?
This one doesn't for me, because it's something that this living girl is doing, and it references a death ritual that the living practice. So I didn't feel like there was any attempt to reach across the border,
mm-hmm.
around back of the wall, across the river, however you want to think about it.
Yeah.
To use a bunch of metaphors which at this moment feel ineffectual to me.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't feel like that is the urge of the poem at all. The poem references a mourning ritual.
And then it turns back and wipes all metaphor out of the poem in the next stanza.
What do they taste like? I ask. Twisting in my lap, she leans back sleepily. They taste like eyes, she says.
Isn't that perfect? Imagine if she had said, they taste like dreams, or
yeah.
They taste like stars.
Yeah.
Eyes is the only answer. They taste like eyes.
Joy Katz, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Joy Katz's essay on poetry and grief is on the Poetry Foundation's website. Her latest book of poems is All You Do Is Perceive. Mary Shebist's book, Incarnadine, is a finalist for the National Book Award for Poetry, and you can find a few of her poems on our website. You can subscribe to this podcast and the Poetry Magazine podcast in the iTunes store, or you can stream them straight from our site, poetryfoundation.org. If you have any questions on this program, email us at podcast@poetryfoundation.org. The theme music for this program comes from the Claudia Quintet. For Poetry Off the Shelf, I'm Curtis Fox. Thanks for listening.